Okay, just for the recording, it's Wednesday the 9th of December, the Father Heart TV webcast, and the title is Found in Him. Many of us will be very familiar with this passage in Philippians chapter 3, and I was really just thinking about it the other day and just really had a few thoughts that came together about it. But just let me read these verses, Philippians 3, verses 8 to 10. It says, "For his sake I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him." And the first thing that really, really struck me as I just read these verses is Paul is saying that he is found in Christ. You know, he doesn't say that he was found by him. You know, it's not a sort of eternal game of hide and seek where Paul goes walk about and the Father or Jesus has to go and find him. You know, He's saying that he is found, that he longs to be found in Christ. And it's like what he's saying there is he's saying that he really wants to make his home in Christ. And in one of Paul's other letters, Paul writes that, you know, he says of himself and I believe of us too, he says, "My life is hidden in Christ in God." And it's like our lives are hidden in Christ, and Christ is hidden in the Father. And you know what Paul is saying here is that he is counting a whole load of things really that were important to him. He's counting them all as rubbish. One of the modern translations, it says, you know, I count them all as dung, you know, like manure. And it's like, you know, Paul is saying that all these things that beforehand were so important, he now treats them as rubbish because what he has discovered is something much, much more important, something much, much more life-giving, which is to be found in him. And what I believe he's really saying there is that he has discovered the secret of making his home in Christ and hidden in the Father. See, in the first few verses of Philippians chapter 3, Paul, it reads a little bit like a CV. You know, Paul is telling us all of the things that he is well known for. So, for example, he says, I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. He says, you know, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. You know, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was persecuting the church. You know, if you look at my righteousness under the law, he says, I was blameless. And so he lists all of these things and he says, you know, They were important to me. You know, they are what other people look at and say, those are good things. And Paul says, you know, I count them all as rubbish because I have discovered that my true home is in him. You see, and what Paul is saying there, he says, it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we have achieved. It doesn't matter what we've accomplished or even what we have materially or in terms of our job or whatever. He said, you know, Paul says, all these things, they used to be important to me, but now I treat them as rubbish. I consider them as rubbish. And, you know, I think so often, so many of us, and I know it's easy to fall into this, but We put so much value on who we are or what we've achieved or, you know, what we have. Or, you know, maybe we're very proud of our certificates on our wall or something. And, You know, it's like our identity becomes in all of these other things. And yeah, before Paul had that conversion experience on the road to Damascus, you know, he had all of these things that really were humanly and religiously to his credit. You know, he said, I've studied in the best university. I've got the best degrees. I had the best tutors. You know, I'm the most zealous Pharisee. I know all the law. And he said, you know, you could look at it and it would read like a good CV. And for a long time in Paul's life, those things were really, really important to him. And then he has this amazing experience where he comes into a life-giving relationship with Jesus and with the Father. And he says, all of those things that used to be important to me, I now count them as rubbish. And, you know, I think the same can be so true for each one of us, is that, you know, we look at what we've, all our accomplishments, and we can focus on those and we can look at our identity being in those. And they can detract us from the reality of what life is all about. And, you know, I believe as Paul found that his home was in Christ and in the Father, that we too can come to that place where what we might have considered to be important really doesn't matter when we compare it to the greatness and the significance and the life of knowing him and being found in him. See, that little expression, found in him, to me speaks of a place of security. You know, we often have this sort of little, expression that it was like when the Father found us, it was like he was playing hide and seek or something. And it's like, you know, did he find us or did we find him? And it's like he makes himself so obvious for him, for us to find him. And it's, and, you know, it's kind of like, sometimes we think that it's a bit like that we're playing hide and seek. And, you know, we go off and do our own thing and the Father comes and finds us and brings us back home. And, you know, it's all wonderful. And then we wander off again and do our own thing and so on. But I think what Paul is talking about here is the security and the stability of being found in him is the security and the stability of us making our home in him. See, Paul's motivation was to gain Christ, was to lay hold of him and to discover him and to really pursue him with all his heart. And he discovered that all of these other things that he had, all of the experience and all of the right titles, that it wasn't enough. You know, it didn't cut it. You know, he discovered that none of those things really mattered. And all he wanted to do was let go of those and to be found in Christ. And, you know, when we read through Paul's letters, we see that this little expression, in Christ, is a really popular theme that Paul brings up regularly, right through all his letters. He keeps talking about us being in Christ. And I think when he's talking about that, you know, in Christ and living in Christ and being in Christ and our identity is in Christ and our destiny is in Christ, you know, I think he really understands what sonship is all about. Because in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples. It's that last evening when they're together. And, you know, Jesus is really laying it out clearly for his disciples, what's going on and what's happening. And, you know, in John chapter 14, there's that brilliant question by Thomas, you know, and Philip comes in and they say, you know, show us the Father. Philip says, show us the Father and that will be enough. And Thomas asks the question, you know, we don't know where you're going. You know, I am so glad that Thomas asked that question. Because, you know, Thomas says, you know, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going back to my Father. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms, etc. And Thomas says, we haven't got a clue. And I am so glad that Thomas asked that question. Because Thomas asking that question gives Jesus the opening to give us that incredible account of our destiny as sons and daughters. And, you know, Philip says, show us the Father and that will be enough. And Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And, you know, what Jesus then goes on to say is, he says, you know, look, he says, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And you know, Jesus is explaining very, very clearly for us that his life is totally, totally wrapped up with the life of the Father. You know, it gets a little bit confusing. The Father's in the Son and the Son's in the Father and we're all in it as well. And you think, well, who's in who? But, you know, what Jesus is describing there is this beautiful intimacy of relationship that we are invited into to be a part of. And Jesus is saying to his disciples and to us as well, he says, look, I'm in the Father. You know, my life is in the Father. You know, everything that I do is for the Father. I only do what the Father wants me to do. And the Father only wants to bring glory to the Son. And it's like this beautiful intimacy of relationship. And Jesus goes on to say, he said, look, I'm going back to my Father, but I'm going to send another comforter, another counselor, which is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says that, you know, when I send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will come and live in you. And then he says that famous verse in John 14, verse 18, you know, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And Jesus is saying there that when he sends the Holy Spirit to us, it will be a spirit of sonship that enables us, as Paul says, to cry, Abba, Father. And this spirit of sonship that Jesus is releasing into our hearts enables us to say, I am no longer an orphan, but I'm a son and a daughter. You see, and Jesus is saying that through that encounter with the Holy Spirit of sonship, we are drawn into this relationship of the Father and the Son. And so when Paul writes right through his letters that we are in Christ, he really understands exactly what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 14. He understands that the Holy Spirit has come into our hearts, and Romans 5:5 says the Holy Spirit is poured, the love of God is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And Paul understands that the Holy Spirit comes to bring the spirit of sonship into our hearts that enables us to cry, Abba, Father. You know, God, you really are my dad. And so when Paul talks about us being in Christ, he is really rooting that, I believe, in this experience of sonship that Jesus talked about in John chapter 14. And he's rooting that little expression in Christ, he's rooting that in his revelation and relationship with the Father. You know, in Galatians, Paul writes a lot about the spirit of sonship coming into our hearts. And, you know, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son in order that we could come home to the Father. And so this theme of Paul's, when he's talking about being in Christ, I believe he's pointing us to this walk of sonship where we really can enter into this same relationship with the Father that Jesus had, that we are in Christ and Christ is hidden in the Father. And it's like we're wrapped up in this beautiful intimate relationship and that we're invited into as sons and daughters. See, and so Paul can say, therefore, that is the most precious thing. You know, that's worth sacrificing everything for. You know, Paul is prepared to say of his own life, he can say all of those things, that CV, you know, that who's who entry, you know, Paul the Apostle, you know, Pharisee of Pharisees, best university, leader of leaders. You know, Paul says, that's just rubbish. You know, I count it all as manure. I count it all as dung for the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ and being found in him. You see, he has found something so precious. He has discovered the depths of relationship with the Father. He has understood what it totally means to be planted in love, to be rooted and grounded in love. He has understood the reality of his life going down deep into the love of the Father. And Paul is opening up the door for us and saying that we too can enter into this amazing life where really all of our own achievements, our own effort, anything that we can conjure up of our own righteousness, you know, Paul is saying, can you let that go in order to find him and to be found in him, in order to know him? And he's inviting us to allow the roots of our life to go down deep into his love. He's inviting us to become rooted and grounded in love. He's inviting us to let his love become our resting place, so that his love becomes the very source and sustenance of everything we do and everything we are. And the wonderful, amazing thing is that this is nothing to do with our own effort. It's not about what we can achieve. It's not about earning it. It's not about, you know, trying to be a better Christian. It's not about trying to line everything up and making it all look good. It's not about our own righteousness in any way. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 9, Moses is talking to the people of Israel, and he's recounting to them their story. And three times in Deuteronomy chapter 9, he says to them, it's nothing to do with your own righteousness. You know, it's not about anything you've done. It's not about any of your achievements. It's not about anything you've acquired, anything you've accomplished. It's all to do with his righteousness. And it's a total, total gift of grace. And Paul is opening up the door for us, and it is so liberating, because he's saying you can have this and you don't have to do anything to get it, because we are in Christ. You know, this is the amazing miracle, really, because the way the Father looks at us is he sees us in Christ. You know, we see ourselves living our daily lives, getting caught up with the business of life. We get caught up with the stuff of our hearts. We get caught up with the ups and downs of our emotions. But the Father looks at us and he sees us in Christ. You know, in Ephesians 2, it says he sees us seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, and I think the Amplified Version says that it's we have joint seating with Christ. So as far as the Father is concerned, when he looks at us, he doesn't see our ups and downs. He doesn't see our failings. He doesn't see all the stuff we struggle with. But he sees us in Christ in the heavenly places. And I really believe that is the real reality. That is the true reality of who we are. When the Father looks at your life, he sees you in Christ. And you know, if we get hold of that, it changes so much of our perspective, because it calls out from us our sonship. It calls out from us the freedom that Christ has won for us. You see, this is a doorway that has been opened to us, and it's a completely free gift for us to step into, and you and I can be found in Christ in exactly the same way as Paul experienced in this letter to the Philippians. You know, not found by him, not, you know, constantly going after you because you go and walk about, but you too can discover and live in that secure, safe place of being found in him. See, it's not about our gifting or our function or our calling. You see, in later on in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, you know, I press on towards the goal for which Christ has called me. And so often we think that that goal is, oh, it's I'm a prophet, or I'm an apostle, or I'm a youth worker, or I'm a teacher. And it's like our calling is limited to a title or a function. But I believe our calling is much, much wider, much, much deeper, much, much bigger than a function or a title. You know, the calling that God has called us to is to live as sons and daughters. It's not to be limited, oh, I'm just a worship leader, or I'm just do the teas and coffees, or I put the chairs out, or I'm a prophet, or I'm this, or I'm that, or I'm the other. You know, that is so limiting. But the calling that God has for each one of us is to be a son or a daughter in exactly the same way as Jesus was a son. And if we limit that calling to a function or a title, we'll end up carrying a heavy yoke. We'll end up carrying a burden that is just burdensome. It's wearisome. It will end up with us striving and tripping over all the time because we're constantly trying to please God and win his favour. But I believe when we live as sons and daughters, it opens up this amazingly wonderful door of freedom. And we can walk in liberty, we can walk in freedom, and we can understand that the true reality of our calling is being in Christ, being hidden in Christ, in God, that we are caught up in this beautiful relationship with the Son and with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, simply because we're a son or a daughter. And, you know, I really encourage us this evening that if we are caught up with our function, or if we're caught up with what we do or what we have or what we're trying to achieve, that, you know, can we let that go to one side in the same way as Paul did? You know, even consider it rubbish in order with the greater goal, if you like, of being found in him. Because when we're found in him, that brings us into this place of security and intimacy where we know we have found a home. You see, it really is much, much bigger than I believe we've experienced or we've understood. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, you know, that in him we can have peace because he has overcome the world. See, when we are in him, right, which is what Paul is talking about, when we're in Christ, when we're hidden in Christ in the Father, we can have peace. We can have that peace that passes all understanding and all knowledge. And the reason Jesus says we can have that peace is because he has overcome the world. See, we don't have to overcome the world. And I think we spend a lot of time trying to overcome the world. But Jesus says, no. You can have peace because I've overcome the world. And when we step into him, when we live in him, when we have that assurance of understanding what the real reality is, we receive his peace because we live in his overcoming of the world. We don't have to try and overcome it ourselves. His overcoming is imputed into our hearts, and we benefit from his overcoming of the world. And when we live in him, when we live in Christ, when we are found in him, I believe that our life can take on a greater peace, because we're living in the fullness of what he has won for us, and we're not trying to win it for ourselves. And for me, this has been a real encouragement just over the last week or so, is to say, Father, I want to live in that place where I receive the benefit of what your son has done. Rather than trying to sort of overcome things in my own strength, I can receive his overcoming simply because I am living in him. See, everything he's done will supersede what we try and do. And that is such a place of peace. And when we live in peace, we have more rest, and we have more joy, and we have more freedom. See, going on a little bit further in Philippians chapter 3, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul writes, he says, our citizenship is in heaven, where we are being transformed into his likeness. You know, he's saying our home is in heaven, where we are being changed to be like him. See, that word changed to be like him, that word transforming, it doesn't mean we are being made to be similar to him. It means we are being changed to be as he is. So it's not like we're a sort of a vague mirror image. You know, we're not similar, but not quite exact. We are the exact likeness. It's that sense of being as he is, rather than being similar to him. It's like it's being brought into the exact likeness, because, you know, our home is in the same place as Jesus's home. The Passion Translation says, you know, that puts it like this. It says, we cling tightly to our life giver as we are transformed into his identical likeness. And it's a wonderful picture of, you know, grasping hold of the source of life and saying, I want this life to flow into my heart. And as we hold tightly to him, we are transformed to be as he is. And as we understand the reality of what it is to be found in him, to make our home in him, that transforms us to be like he is. It changes us from the inside out. And you can all take a big deep breath, because you can just relax, because it brings us peace. And don't we need peace? Don't we need to experience his peace in our hearts? You know, life is so stressful. I mean, just living life is enough. And we lose our peace so easily. And Jesus is offering us peace. As we live in him, we can step into his overcoming, and his peace will flood our hearts. And my encouragement to us this evening is that we cling tightly to that source of life. And as we do, we find that place of being in him. See, in John chapter 15, and again, it's a very, very well-known passage. It talks about abiding in him. You know, the branch is, you know, abide, the branch abides, is stuck in the trunk. You know what I mean? You know the story. And it's like Jesus is saying throughout that whole passage that we, in abiding in him, we live in him. And, you know, he says the gardener comes along with his secretaries and does some pruning. And we don't like pruning, do we? We, you know, pruning is one of those things we'd rather avoid and pass by. But the word for pruning is the same word as cleansing. And I like that a lot better, because, you know, Jesus is saying, you know, as you abide in me, so you will be cleansed. You will be clean. And then he goes on to say, but you are already clean because of my word. And it's like his word constantly washes us. You know, when we are abiding in him, when we are grafted into the vine, if you like, his word cleanses us and it keeps us clean. And Jesus says, you don't need pruning because you're already clean because of my word. And that is such an encouragement to us that, you know, we are, when we are in him, he sees us as if, you know, in a new way of us being pure, of purity. See, going on through John chapter 15, Jesus says, if you abide in the vine, if you live in me, you will bear much fruit. And the thing about this fruit is that Jesus tells us in John 15, he says it's abundant fruit and it's fruit that lasts. You know, and I know so often in my own life, I've done so many, many things that have been fruitful for a season. And you can look at it and you can see a little bit of fruit and it lasts for a little while and then it falls away. But, you know, Jesus says to us in John chapter 15 that if we abide in him, we will bear abundant fruit and fruit that will last. And I think, oh, yes, I long for that, you know, and don't we long for that? We want to see our lives being fruitful. And so many of us have tried so hard to make them fruitful. And we have produced fruit. And I really believe God blesses that. And he looks on it with favor and he showers us with his blessing. But I believe that part of our inheritance as sons and daughters is for us to produce fruit that lasts, abundant fruit that lasts. And I really believe that we will become fruitful and bear that sort of fruit when we are living in him. You know, when we are found in him, when our roots go down deep into him, we will experience that abundant fruit that lasts. See, Jesus said in John chapter 6, he said, don't work for stuff that perishes, but work for that which is eternal. And he's talking about, you know, him being the living bread. In John chapter 6, he says, I am the living bread. And he encourages us to make our food, if you like, the same as his food. And in John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. See, Jesus was totally, totally satisfied with doing his Father's will. You know, he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. And it's like that's what gave him energy. That's what gave him sustenance. That's what gave him life, was when he was doing what his Father wanted him to do. And I believe the encouragement is the same for us, that we too can discover that our food, the thing that sustains us, the thing that keeps us going, the thing that gives us life, is when we walk as Jesus walked, and we too desire and long to do the will of our Heavenly Father. See, that's what satisfies. And I believe as we are found in him, we discover what really satisfies. And we discover the thing that really satisfies is when we say, Father, I only want to do what you've got for me to do. You know, I only want to feast on the living bread. I only want to draw life from you. And like Jesus, we can be totally satisfied by doing the Father's will. And as you know, I think Paul understood that, because when he says, you know, I am clinging tightly to the life giver, you know, I'm pressing on to my calling. I don't believe he was talking about being an apostle to the churches in the world at that stage, or doing the next missionary journey, or planting another church. I believe he was so rooted and grounded in love, and he understood so much what Jesus had said in John chapter 14. When he says, I press on to my calling, he's saying, I'm pressing on into that relationship with my Heavenly Father, where I know that I am in Christ, in God. And I think Paul had really discovered what it was to know what that satisfying source of life was when he was doing the will of the Father. My encouragement, I think, this evening is that we step into Christ, and we say, Father, I want my life to be hidden in Christ in you, because that will lead us into the depth and reality of our sonship. I just want to refer briefly to Ephesians chapter. Let me find it. Ephesians chapter 1. Because Paul starts off Ephesians chapter 1 and he has this great long prayer, which in a lot of Bibles is called spiritual blessings in Christ. And he takes us through what it means in very, very practical ways, what it means to be in Christ. So in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. You see, he's chosen us to be holy and blameless. In love, he predestined us for the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ, to the praise of his glory, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. You see, he's saying, because of his love for us, he has chosen us to be sons and daughters. You know, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness in time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, in Christ, we have an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. You know, and Paul goes on through Ephesians chapter 1, telling us, it's just wonderful, you know, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, to the glorious inheritance of the saints, the immeasurable greatness of his power, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him who fills all in all. You know, and then in chapter 2, you were dead in your trespasses and sin in which you once walked, and God, being rich in mercy, even when we were dead in our sins, he made us alive with Christ. And you know, just read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, and it really summarizes for us what it means for us to be in Christ. And that's the reality of our journey that Paul is talking about, and it's the reality of what he has discovered when he says, I am found in him, I am found in Christ. And you know, my encouragement for us this evening is that we can come to the Father and say, Father, will you fill me with your love so much that my life becomes rooted and grounded in this amazing, extravagant love, that I too can make my home in Christ, that I can find my security and safety in you, that I am wrapped up together in this intimacy with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. See, this affects everything. It really, really does. You know, there's a song by House Fires, which many of you may have heard. It's called "This Love is an Everyday Kind of Love." And, you know, maybe if you haven't heard it, go to YouTube afterwards and just type that in, House Fires, This Love, and it will come up. And it's just a wonderful bit of spontaneous singing and worship where they're singing about this love is an everyday kind of love. And it sets us free. It breaks the chains that hold us. And it leads us into this amazing freedom and glory. Because when we know that we're found in him and we're hidden in him, it changes everything and it affects everything. And Paul says everything else is rubbish to the greatness and the goodness and the delight of being found in him. And I, for myself, I long that I could say the same. You know, that I could let go of all those things that I've achieved or done or have or whatever and say, Father, the reality is in Christ. You know, in Colossians, I think Paul writes, the reality is found in Christ. And for us to come to that place and say, yes, the reality is in Christ, because I know when I'm in Christ, I'm in the Father and I'm rooted and grounded in love. And the source of my life is coming from him. And the thing that satisfies is to do his will. So let me just pray for you. I'm just going to put some music on. Let's just spend some time just receiving, allowing the Father to work in our hearts, and that we too would have this experience of knowing what it is to be found in him. So Father, I just thank you that there is a reality that we can experience of being found in you. That Father, our lives are hidden in Christ in you. And Father, just as Paul was able to say that all of the things he'd done, all of the things he'd accomplished, all of the things he had, they became rubbish to him compared to the reality of being found in you and being known by you. And Father, that is the real reality. And so, Father, we want to step into that real reality this evening. The Father, as your sons and daughters all over the world, we want to step into this real reality of being found in you and knowing you. Father, would you cause the roots of our lives to go deep in you? Father, that your love would become our resting place, that your love would become the food that satisfies us, that energizes us, that keeps us going. Father, that your love would be the source of everything. And Father, may this overwhelming, extravagant, generous love affect every area of our lives. Father, we want to be found in you as your sons and daughters. That Father, we want all the striving and all the performance to go. And Father, as we step into Christ, may his overcoming give us peace, because we no longer have to overcome the world, because he has overcome the world. And Father, may his overcoming be imputed into our hearts, so that instead of striving, we can live in peace. And Father, as we live in peace, we can experience more rest and more joy and more freedom. Because that's our true inheritance, that's our true identity. So Father, would you just let a wave of love go right around the world now and touch your sons and daughters' hearts. Father, fill us once again. Holy Spirit, we We thank you that it is through you that the love of the Father comes into our hearts. And so we just open our hearts up to you and say, Father, we long for more of your love to fill us and to flood us. Father, take us deeper and deeper and deeper into your love. Thank you, Father. Just come to each one of us. Come to each one of us, Father, and fill us again with your presence and your love. Amen. Thank you, Father.